Have I told you how excited I am about the Bible study this afternoon? It's unlike any other Bible study you've ever experienced. It'll be very unique. It'll go down in the annals. Very unique. You'll want to sit real close to your spouse, and you'll want to reach over and put your hand on their knee. And there'll be a lot of knee squeezing going on in this last Bible study. But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Father, I thank you again for this church. Thank you, Lord, for their influence in their community. And Lord, I pray for each marriage in this church. Lord, even those that aren't represented here this morning, I pray that you would cause the husbands to love their wives and the wives, Lord, to respect their husbands, and that they would grow together, and that they would say to the world that Jesus is Lord, that they would paint a Christian example to their community in the very heart of their homes. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each husband here, each wife here. Lord, we want to hear what your Spirit would say to us this morning. We ask it again in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to introduce to you a brand new sport. It's called wife carrying. Wife carrying. And the name is self-explanatory. A husband carries his wife over an 831-foot obstacle course. The fastest time wins the race. Now, the contestants are encouraged to develop their own technique, but three carries dominate the sport. First is the wraparound approach. It's where the husband sort of lays his wife over his shoulders and carries her around kind of fireman style. Well, the second is the piggyback approach, and you know what that is. She jumps up on his back and he carries her piggyback. The third is a more complicated style, but apparently it's the most popular. It's called the Estonian, and it's named after the country that invented it. The wife travels upside down on her husband's back with her legs hooked over his shoulders and her arms wrapped around his waist. It's a popular technique because it evenly distributes out the wife's weight. Now, numerous wife-carrying competitions are held each year in various countries all over the world. But the championships are hosted by Finland, the sport's birthplace. And here are the Finnish rules. Wives have to be 17 years old. They have to weigh at least 108 pounds. If a wife doesn't make the weight, her husband gets weighted down with a sack. That's only fair. The track is made up of sand, grass, gravel. There's a water hazard, even a climbing obstacle. And if the husband drops his wife, there may be more ramifications when he gets home. But he gets charged a 15-second penalty for the race. The only other rule, all participants are required to have fun. By the way, the world record, in case you want to try it, is 55 seconds. Well, this morning, I want to talk to the husbands about wife carrying. For as a Christian man, you are running a race. But as a married man, you are running that race while carrying a wife. As we've already discussed, marriage is a picture. God created marriage as a divine snapshot of Christ's relationship with His church. And the role that God gives to husbands is a lot like that of a wife carrier. Husbands should lovingly lead, and wives should submit to their husbands and give them their respect. Recall, symbols, pictures, are vital to God. You don't have to look any farther than Jesus' Last Supper with His disciples. He spoke of the bread. "This is my body." The cup was a symbol of His blood. And then He commanded all generations of believers to regularly partake of these emblems. Symbols are a big deal to God. He speaks to humanity through pictures. And here in Ephesians 5, verses 22 and 23, God calls husbands to lead and wives to follow. We read, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord.
For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Men need to take charge. They need to be the head of their home. They need to rise up and they need to take on leadership. As in the sport of wife caring, husbands need to set the pace and take responsibility for their wives. And a wife's calling is to then line up her life in her husband's direction and then hold on tightly for a wild ride. Yet let me cut right to the chase. Too often today, you find the wife carrying her husband rather than the husband carrying his wife. I've met too many husbands who complain, even whine, "Oh, I get no respect. My wife refuses to treat me as the head of our home." All the while, he's acting like a rear rather than a head. Sorry. Some men have been married for years, but they're still a rookie at the sport of wife caring. And this is what I hope God will change through this morning's message. You see, the Bible is clear. God calls husbands to be the head of their home. But the Bible is also clear. We're to be loving, caring leaders. Let's be heads with a heart. In a letter to his son, author Charlie Shedd, he gives this advice to husbands. Take charge, but not as a mighty potentate sitting on his throne, ruling his cowering subjects with an iron hand. No, take charge more like a conductor standing on his box, directing a symphony, delicate but definite, subdued yet powerful. This is a wonderful picture. A family is like an orchestra, and it's the husband slash dad's job to be the maestro. God has called you to be the conductor of your orchestra. Male headship is a definite biblical principle. But don't mistake a husband's leadership for some kind of male-dominated dictatorship. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 refers to married couples as heirs together of the grace of life. Yes, husbands and wives have different roles in their relationship, but in many ways they're equals, they're peers. Kathy is not only my wife, she's also my sister. We have the same father. In a sense, she's my sibling, my sister in Christ. She and I are children of the same Father, our Heavenly Father. Put these two concepts together, head of the wife and heirs together, and you could call the man, he is the head heir. But if that husband, if that head, if it goes to his head and he gets the big head, if his attitude just gets twisted just a little bit, rather than a head heir, he can just as easily be an heir head. He can. Here's our big problem. Most men fail to grasp the delicate biblical concept of headship. As head of the church, Jesus is the Savior of the body. Thus, headship is not only a position of authority, but of great and grave responsibility. Jesus took our sins on his shoulders. He died in our place. In essence, he took responsibility for what was not his fault. And that's biblical headship in a nutshell. It's the willingness to take responsibility for what's not my fault. This is the responsibility that a man accepts when he becomes a husband. He takes responsibility for his wife and his family. He covers her debts. He mends her breaks. He repairs her problems. He heals her hurts. Fellas, are you the head of your household? Not head in the sense of bossy, but do you keep your family covered? Do you protect your family? Think of the word head in the sense of sheltering, materially, emotionally, even spiritually. Does your wife feel safe under your leadership? You see, in God's economy, a man carries a greater weight than a wife. To be the head means to go ahead of her. He doesn't just sit back while his wife gets it in gear. No, the man steps up. He's the one who takes the initiative. A godly man learns to carry his wife. In a marriage, God has ordained that the buck stops with the buck. And I believe that a wife finds it easier to obey God and to submit to her husband when her husband mans up and acts in a loving, godly manner toward his family. Every Christian husband needs to be good at the sport of wife carrying. And Paul teaches us the basics right here in verses 25 through 30. Here's wife carrying 101. Verse 25 tells us, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, and no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Now, if you'd been a member of the church in Ephesus, and you were hearing these words from Paul for the very first time, you would be shocked. They would be revolutionary. You would demand that they be read again. You see, the Greek culture expected wives to be submissive to their husbands. But no one ever expected a husband to love his wife, at least not in any sacrificial manner. The Christian ethic brought to the ancient world this whole idea of reciprocal responsibilities. Christian relationships are two-sided. Wives submit, yes, but husbands need to love their wives. Kids obey their parents, but parents shouldn't provoke their kids. Employees should work hard for their boss, but the boss should treat his employees fairly. You see, even in Jewish culture, a woman's plight was pitiful. Every morning, Jewish men would pray, "God, thank you that I wasn't born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman." But Christianity came to the rescue of women. Not only should a wife submit to her husband, but the husband should now love his wife. And not only love her, but as Christ loves the church. That raises the bar higher, does it not? The Christian ethic shifted the majority of the responsibility from the wife to her husband. You see, Paul did more for women's liberations than all the bra-burning feminists combined. Husbands are to be like Christ to their wives and bestow the love that Jesus shows us. Here's the husband's role in the marriage. Love your wife. Guys, can you say that with me? Love my wife. That's your job. Men, your wife desperately needs to know that you love her and that you care for her. You need to reassure your wife daily that you're committed to cleansing her and protecting her and providing for her all the days of her life. A husband should be willing to lay down his life for his wife. In word and in deed, we need to love our wives. But notice our text. It doesn't say that husbands need to love their wives like Matthew McConaughey loves Jennifer Lopez, or like Tom Hanks loves Meg Ryan. Men, you may not be an extreme romantic, or a silver-tongued poet, or even a handsome hunk. And real life is never the movies. But guys, you know how to love your wife. You do. You know how to love your wife. Love her like you love your golf clubs. That's right. Keep her safe. Protect her from nicks and scratches. Outfit her in those fluffy, comfortable covers. Take her to nice places. Make sure she always shines. Brag about her to your buddies. Oh, and work on your swing, how you treat her. Make sure you get the grip just right. Aim straight. Make good contact always. Be consistent. Make sure love for your wife is par for the course. Husbands, you know how to love your wives. Just love her like you love your golf clubs. Just don't slip up and call her Big Bertha, okay? Or love your wife like you love your tools. Some of you guys can relate to this. Your tools are your livelihood. You treasure them. They're always by your side. You keep your eye on them at the work site to make sure nobody walks off with them. You keep them oiled and greased and sharpened and protected and serviced. Hey, you know how to love your wife. Just love her like you love your tools. Keep them in tip-top condition. Husbands need to treat their wives the same way. Men need to love their wives, but wives need to understand how men love. Often women marry men because they're attracted to masculine traits, rugged exteriors, deep husky voices. But then after the wedding, they expect their husband to act and talk like a girlfriend. They want him to yak incessantly and get all emotional about stuff. Ladies, that is not the man you married. Some wives expect more from their husbands than he can deliver. Again, Dr. Laura, she gives some advice to wives. Only when women enjoy those strengths they have that men don't, and enjoy the strengths men have that they as women don't, will they be happier creatures. Men display their emotions in action more than pretty phrases. If your husband doesn't say all the flowery things you think he should because you've watched too many chick flicks, you should look at what he does when he repairs a leaky faucet or rotates the tires on your car. That is love speak for a husband. Action is largely how men communicate. Wives, God has not called your husband to love you the way it's depicted in the latest chick flick. Husbands love their wives like they love their golf clubs, or like they love their tools. Or better yet, Paul says that husbands should love their wives like Jesus loves the church. And Jesus loves the church in at least four ways. I'll list them for you. He loves us with a sacrificial love. He loves us with a sanctifying love. He loves us with a sensitive love. And he loves us with a sharing love. And they're right here in Ephesians 5. Here's what men need to know about wife caring. First, Jesus loves us with a sacrificial love. Notice again in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus gave himself for the church. He suffered and bled and died so that we could live. Jesus gave himself for the church in one big, bold, monumental way. And a husband is called on to give himself for his wife's sake in a lot of little ways from day to day. Reminds me of the young man who said to his girl, "For you, baby, I'd swim the biggest ocean, climb the highest mountain, cross the fastest river, and I'll see you on Friday if it doesn't rain." Oh, he claimed the big sacrifices, but he wasn't willing to make the daily routine sacrifices. Hey, a good husband will be constantly dying for his wife, dying to the habits that cause friction. "I don't eat potato chips in bed anymore," just so you'll know. Dying to habits that upset your wife, dying to desires that breed distrust, dying to selfishness and stubbornness, dying to the kind of pride and self-righteousness that keeps you from saying you're sorry. When a husband comes home from work, he's tired, he's exhausted, he wants to be left alone, but a husband dies to what he wants. he steps up to help out his family. And notice verse 25, fellas. It tells us Jesus gave what? Himself. He gave himself. Men, this is what your wife desires most. She wants you. She didn't sign up to coexist with a stranger. A wife doesn't just want you to do stuff for her or spend money on her. No, she wants your time. She wants your attention. More than your money, she just wants a honey. She wants you. Rodney Dangerfield used to say, "I get no respect in my marriage. On my wedding night, my wife told me we were seeing too much of each other." Trust me, your wife will never say that. Believe it or not, the rest of us can't understand it, but she can't get enough of you. Once there was a hardworking farmer and his wife from Oklahoma. Their house got hit by a tornado. The funnel blew the roof off the top of the house and sucked the farmer and his wife out of the house. They were still in bed, just sucked the bed right out of the house. The same bed landed 10 miles away. When the hero units arrived, the wife was crying. But her tears were tears of happiness. She said, "I can't help it. I'm just so happy. This is the first time we've been out together in 20 years. At times, husbands can get so busy bringing home the bread, we forget our sugar. Jesus gave himself for the church, and every husband needs to lay down his life for his wife. We need to love her with a sacrificial love. Second, Jesus loves us with a sanctifying love. Read with me verses 26 and 27. "That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Jesus not only sacrifices for the church, but he works tirelessly to sanctify and to cleanse his church. Now this word sanctify, it means to set apart. The idea is to separate from the ordinary, to treat as special, to elevate in status. And this is how Jesus loves us, does he not? Jesus found me floundering in my sin, but he cleansed me. He made me his own. He gave my life purpose and hope and beauty. He restored my dignity. In fact, I'm his restoration project. Through continual washings with his word, he's working miracles in me. Jesus has renewed my mind. He's elevated my status. In Christ, I am loved and accepted and valued. He involves me in his work, no less. I am somebody in Christ. And now he presents me to God, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Spiritually speaking, where there were age spots, there's now no spots. Where I was weathered and worn, there are no wrinkles. Though marred by sin in Christ, I am without blemish. And this is how a husband should love his wife, with a sanctifying love. Guys, your wife is your restoration project. You thought it was that 57 Chevy out in the garage, but it's not. Your wife is your restoration project. When you married, she had some scars. She had been beaten down. Perhaps in the past, she was molested or abused, or maybe even mistreated. She felt like a nobody. Maybe she lived promiscuously and lacked dignity. Husband, a wife bears scars. She has wounds. She has dysfunctions that those wounds have caused. Hey, this is not your fault, but it is now your responsibility. And as the head of your home, you should be God's healing agent in the life of your wife. Husband, your job is to love your wife like Jesus loves us. Our sin was not his fault, but he took it on as his responsibility. He died in our place to save our soul. Headship is being accountable for stuff that's not my fault. You see, real men don't bellyache. They don't cast blame. They redeem and forgive and restore and sanctify. We work to show our wife and her kids a better life. A husband's job is to sanctify his wife and to help her overcome her past. He treats his wife as pure and special. He respects her as a lady. He looks past what she might have used to be and reminds her of who she now is in Christ. A godly husband helps to restore his wife's dignity. And yet I know husbands who only make matters worse. Their little cutting comments remind their wife of what she once was. The husband's good at stirring up the evil echoes of her past. Men, if this is what you're doing to your wife, shame on you. Are you helping your wife to grow in Christ, or are you holding her back? A husband loves his wife by speaking God's word into her life, by reminding her of how Jesus sees her, viewing her with acceptance and love and the forgiveness that Jesus has shown us. Men, have you given your wife an opportunity to start over, or are you constantly dredging up her past? Let me ask all husbands a serious question. Has your wife gotten prettier or plainer since she married you? Is she thriving or is she withering under your influence? Men, your wife should be the byproduct of your cultivation. You're responsible for her health and her beauty. Thus, if she's not healthier and more beautiful than when you first married her, then you bear much of the blame. It angers me to hear a husband who's been married for a decade say that he no longer loves his wife. And why not? After 10 years of marriage, a husband indicts himself to say he doesn't love his wife. She's been in your care. What have you been doing to make that gal more lovable? You see, a joyous, beautiful, godly wife is a testimony to her husband's love, whereas a depressed, brawling, nagging wife is proof of a husband's negligence. I'll never forget the fellow who approached me after Bible study one Sunday, and he said he decided to join our church. He'd been coming for several years. I figured he'd already joined the church. But he said, no, I want to make Calvary Chapel my church home. Well, I asked him what had happened. I mean, what had caused him to reach this decision at this particular time. And this is what he said. He said, well, you know, Pastor Sandy, I've been watching your wife. That's kind of creepy. Somebody watching your wife. I didn't quite know what to think about that. But then he added, you know, she seems pretty healthy to me, and she's definitely happy, and thus she must be thriving under your leadership, and I figure that if she thrives under your leadership, my family will too. Wow. I still didn't like him watching my wife, but I had to admit that he had some wisdom. Husbands, do you smother and stifle your wife, or do you allow her to flower and flourish and grow? Here's another thought. Husband, is your wife growing in spite of you or because of your influence? We are the savior of the body. We should be enhancing our wives physically, socially, emotionally, spiritually. We should love our wives with a sacrificial love, with a sanctifying love, and then third, with a sensitive love. Notice verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Jesus treats his church as his own body. The church is the body of Christ. This is a multifaceted metaphor. It speaks of many truths, but certainly it illustrates the empathy of our Lord. Jesus became a man. He occupied human flesh, a body like ours. Thus, he knows what it's like to be hungry and to feel pain and to be lonely and to have sorrow and to suffer need. He knows what it's like to care for a physical body. And so do I. We're all very in tune with the needs of our body. When my stomach growls, or I go without sleep, or I get a toothache, or I pound my thumb with a hammer, these kinds of needs do not get overlooked. And this is the way that a husband should relate to his wife. In a single word, his love shows attentiveness. Guys, are you attentive to your wife? See, my wife might have needs that I can't meet, but I hope she never has a need that I don't know about. A husband is to nourish and cherish his wife as he would his own body. I don't miss many meals, and I shouldn't be missing picking up on Kathy's needs. Once there was a husband, he laid down on the couch, he picked up the remote control for the television. His wife was out in the other room when he shouted, "Hey, honey, anything you want to say to me before football season begins?" It's not exactly being sensitive to your wife. Certainly, that's not the way Jesus is sensitive to us. He hears our prayers 24/7. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. The least that we can do, men, is to take some time each day to be available to our wives, to hear the issues that are a concern to her. Men, do you listen to her heart? You should. I've heard it put this way. Every husband needs to know what makes his wife tick, what tickles her, and what ticks her off. That's great advice for husbands. Paul is telling us that a husband needs to be as sensitive to his wife's needs as he is to his own body. Years ago, I went on a school field trip to Jekyll Island with my son Zach's sixth grade science class. Jekyll Island is one of the islands off the coast of Georgia. It's one of the barrier reefs there in the Atlantic Ocean. And all week long, I was bombarded with more information about marine biology than I ever wanted to know. Most of it sailed over my head. But I did learn a vital lesson about marriage. It's an illustration that I've never forgotten. When the female China-back crab molts, or that is, sheds her shell, it takes several days for a new shell to harden. And for that interval of time, the female crab is extremely vulnerable to predators and to different problems. But it's during that period that something wonderful happens. The male crab comes to her rescue. The male China-back crab covers the female with his body. That's when the vulnerable female attaches herself to the male's underbelly. And so he carries her around until her shell is able to harden and give her the proper protection. In other words, the husband covers his wife. And men, there are times in life when your wife, she gets a little crabby, if you know what I mean. And that's when you need to cover her. Not judge her, not question her, not criticize her, but you need to cover her. It's during those times of vulnerability that you need to be sensitive to your wife, to carry your wife. It's a husband's job to provide his wife with protection and reason and stability, even when she's going through a vulnerable period. This is part of being head over your wife. Every wife needs to see and feel that she is the object of her husband's love. And finally, we're to love our wives as Jesus loves the church. If we're to do so, we should love them with a sharing love. Notice again, verse 29, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." The urge to eat or be warm or to sleep isn't something we have to think a lot about. These are instinctive desires. And Paul is telling us that it should be the instinctive desire of every husband to love his wife. It is an impulse that should come naturally for him. Is it second nature to you guys to love your wife? As Paul puts it, one day Jesus will present us as his glorious church. He is going to share with us a glory that is not our own. He is going to clothe us in His glory. It's a shared glory. The church is in Christ to the extent of sharing in His accomplishments. The Bible says we're going to reign and rule with Jesus, not because of our successes, but because of His victory. Jesus longs for the day when He'll present the church to the Father in shared glory. He's going to show off His bride. He's going to sport us on His arm and brag about our beauty. One day we, His church, will be a trophy wife. This is what Paul means in Romans 8, verse 17. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. See, in the big scheme of things, Jesus makes sure that we not only carry His burdens, but that we share in His glory. And this is the goal of a loving husband. Over the years, my wife has been my best friend. There have been times when she was the only person I could lean on. She has definitely helped me carry the load. That's why now, when a small reward comes my way, I am quick to share it with Kathy. She has shared in my struggles. Now she needs to share in some of my successes. Hear ye all husbands. If you want your wife to submit or to arrange her life around yours, then when a little success comes your way, make sure you share it with her. Let her in on the spoils of battle. She's helped you fight the wars, and she's been in her share of the combat. Now make sure that she shares in your successes. It reminds me of the account in 1 Samuel chapter 30 of David's victory over the Philistines. The men who guarded the stuff back at camp, they ended up receiving the same share of the spoils as those who had drawn the sword. David said, But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. And David actually made this order an official decree. It was a policy from then on in Israel. And this should be the policy of every husband. A faithful wife who guards the stuff deserves the same spoils as the husband who wins the victories. Husband, why not give a portion of that next bonus check to your wife so she can go out and spend it however she wants? Or take her with you on the next fun business trip that comes along. She's held down the fort at home. Now that the busy season is over, why not treat her to a night out to herself? Every husband knows what it means to him when his boss appreciates and rewards him for his hard work. Well, it means even more to a wife when her husband acknowledges her dedication and her faithfulness. Husband, do you praise your wife? Do you carry her picture around in your wallet? I mean, now on your cell phone? Are you proud of her in public? Do you brag about her? A smart husband compliments his wife regularly. I'm sure every husband here appreciates his wife and all she does. But guys, when was the last time you made a specific point of telling her about it? Part of loving our wives is to have a sharing love. Reminds me of the British man's first visit to America. He had attended church one Sunday and he heard a sermon on loving his wife. He took it to heart. He was excited. As soon as he returned home, he was going to show his wife this newfound appreciation. Well, while in the States, he noticed how that American men like to compliment women with the phrase, "Wow, you look like $1 million." And so he decided that on his return to England, he would try the same thing with his wife. The problem, though, was with the translation. He said, "Honey, you look like £1 million." And you can be sure her reaction wasn't what he hoped. There was one smart British gentleman who was quite skilled in complimenting his wife. England's Prime Minister Winston Churchill was once attending a banquet with his beloved wife Clementine, or Clemmy. They were sitting at a table with other dignitaries when each person was asked the question, "If you could not be who you are, who then would you like to be?" Well, when it was Churchill's turn, he turned around and he took Clemmy by the hand and he said, "If I could not be who I am, I would most like to be Lady Churchill's second husband." The old boy sure knew how to make some points, didn't he? And husband, you'll win a few points if you find ways to share your love with your wife. Husbands, love your wife as Jesus loves the church. Love her with a sacrificing love, with a sanctifying love, with a sensitive love, and with a sharing love. Once there was a husband, he asked his pastor if it were possible to love his wife too much. The pastor answered, "Do you love her as much as Christ loves the church?" The man shrugged and replied, "Well, no, of course not." The pastor responded, "Then love her some more." And I'm sure every husband here today can love his wife a little more. You can make a sacrifice. You can help to sanctify. You can be more sensitive or more sharing. Football players train. Baseball players, they improve. And all Christian husbands can get better at wife carrying. Men, you want to be treated as the head of your home? Then act like the head and not the rear end. Take responsibility. Love her the way Jesus loves us. Stop complaining and start covering your family with your love. Remember, headship is not so much about authority as it is responsibility. And husband, it falls on you to get the ball rolling. You can start. You can set a new tone in your relationship. The first step is for us to rise up and to build into our marriage. We need to make it our goal to earn our wife's respect, to take on leadership, and to always assure her of our love. Always remember, the buck starts and stops with the buck. Father, thank you for your word to the men here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll help each husband here be like Christ to his wife, and each wife here love and submit and respect her husband. Lord, I pray that we could order our marriages your way. We could do marriage your way along the lines of your wisdom. And Lord, if we do, I have no doubt that our marriages will take on a whole new level of intimacy and love and fruitfulness. Lord, marriage always goes better when we do it your way. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to structure, to order our lives, to order our relationship, Lord, according to your word. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.